As we start this morning, I want to sing one song because we're going to be going back to the book of Genesis. And as is true so often, there the great themes of the Bible begin in Genesis. And so there's a song that our toddlers learn at a very, very young age. But whether you're a toddler, child, or young at heart, I want you to sing out this next song. Day is great. We're going to be going, like as I said, to the book of Genesis in chapter 1. We're going to be going back to that sixth day where something truly amazing happens. But before we do that, I want us to take out our virtual mirror. I don't mean your iPhone. This is not selfie time. But that imagination, that imaginary mirror. You remember going through the process. You looked at a mirror this morning. Maybe just kind of check how you're doing. Hair, is it all right? Am I looking good? But look probingly into that mirror. Look deep into it. Is it all good in there? Do you come away saying, yeah, I'm looking good? Or do you, as probably most of us, like, ugh, look what the years have done to me. Look at the scars. Look at, And you can do that whether you're up in years or young. But I love the way that our kids begin to look at themselves in the mirror. The first thing they do is notice that they're there. And then they make a face. And all the kinds of different faces. And they just love looking at themselves. What do they know? Unconsciously, that maybe we don't know. I challenge you to put on your mirror, all the mirrors in your life. There's probably 10 of them in your house. Then there's one in your car. Put on that mirror made in the image of God. And when you look at that, no matter how you feel, but when you see yourself, say, I am made in the image of God. Now let's take that in for a moment. Hopefully that feels good. It may be puzzling, I admit. But it kind of causes me to say, whoa! Wow! And then, really? Now I want you to look around this auditorium. I want you to see the faces of your brothers and your sisters in Christ, and I want you to whisper, made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. Yes, you are. You're special. Now, where does that come from? Let's turn to Genesis in chapter 1, begin in verse 24. It's the beginning of the sixth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according. Yes, I love getting old too. Each according to its creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to his kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to his kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make God in our image. Now, I have to be honest with you. That word in Hebrew so often goes to describe how an idol is fashioned. So it's strange to me to hear God using that in this particular context. But it's as if God scooped up that terracotta, that clay, and fashioned man in some way. Though I'm left wondering, what does that mean? But I do know this. It's something special. And it's something that no one else in God's creation had. Now, we've all probably heard about the terrible incident that happened in the Cincinnati Zoo. Incredible, magnificent mountain gorilla in its habitat in the Cincinnati Zoo, and a toddler makes its way somehow into it. But what really disturbs me is that people were doing this. My fellow citizens, which one should be saved? Which one is more important? And hearing people cry out, oh, the agony. And yes, it was a tragedy. Where have we gotten that we wonder which one was made in the image of God? Which one should be rescued and saved? I love the way verse 28 picks it up. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the air, the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on earth. And picking up in verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made. And indeed, it was not good this time, but very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. As I struggled to understand what it meant to be made in the image of God, I thought back 19 years ago. I was in the very important position of standing right beside my wife, holding her right hand. I could switch to my left hand, I could switch to my right hand, but I needed to stay there, and I needed to help her breathe. And if I ever had any questions or forgot or panicked, I would look to my wife and say, how does it go again? Because she was going to have a baby. She was going to have our baby. What a moment. I don't know what I was expecting. I had been to the training classes, but I had nothing to prepare me for the moment that my daughter Haley was born. They popped her up. Her eyes were open. And I don't know if it was every picture that I'd ever seen of myself, but I looked at her and she looked at me, and I recognized her. I knew exactly who she was. I had seen her before. I knew her. And it was nothing just to scoop her up in my arms and to hold her and claim her as my own. And then Cynthia said, you mind if I hold her too? I had a little something to do with this. But what an amazing moment. Something I wasn't prepared for. I know you. I recognize you. You are mine. Does that not say it? What God is trying to communicate to us? Now, join me as this word is used again in Genesis 5. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Now, I share something with him. Had a son in his image. What that must have been like. He must have been as puzzled as I was. But let's jump forward into the book of John. But chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh. How does that change the image of God now? The Son of God became flesh. But what did he teach us? Let's go to John 13. A new commandment, Jesus says, I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. What does that mean? In Jesus' ministry, do you remember when he reached out to touch a leper? No matter what ailment you had, if you were hungry, He feeds you. If you were sick, heal you. If you were outcast, He talked to you. Think about the woman at the well. Jesus loved those around Him. Jesus saw in us that creation is the image of God. Something special. Something worth redeeming. Now let's look into Hebrews. Starting chapter 1 at the beginning. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. Through Him, He was made the world. He made the world. Who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins. Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What's the meaning there? What did Jesus do? Do you see Jesus as the servant? Do you see Jesus as the one who's giving and loving? Let's also look into 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. But we all, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, as being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now the context of this passage, Paul is referring back to Mount Sinai, he's referring back to Moses, and how Moses veiled himself after being in the presence of God. He had been affected by God. It was too much for the people. Now let's continue in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But then he continues in chapter 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but who? Christ Jesus, the Lord. And ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What that tells me is how special Jesus is. How He is that manifestation of God here on earth. To be able to look at Him, to see Him, to even touch Him. It's amazing. What's even more amazing occurs in Galatians 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise. We have put on Christ, not just a coat, head to toe, inside to outside. And that's important. And it's important that he has even tied it into baptism. As many of you have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. Now think about that last day, that day where we stand before God. How do you want to be dressed? Do you want to come as you are? Do you want to come like Christ? Do you want to be in His image? Let's think a little bit more about how Christ's image was manifest to us. We talked about the various people that He interacted with, the outcast, the sick, even the dead. But I even remember a thief on the cross hanging next to him. He had time for him. But back up with me, because this is how I see Jesus in the upper room, with his disciples around him, as Jesus knows what's about to happen, he kneels. He washes the feet of each one of his disciples. Their dirty, their smelly feet, even the one who would betray him. Even the one who would deny him three times. Even all of those who would desert him at his greatest hour, his greatest need. Jesus was the servant. So think about some of what Jesus said. In the parable of the talents, for those who would use their talents, the parable goes, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many." What about those who didn't? Into darkness. What about those who did? Enter into my peace. What about those who call upon the name of the Lord? That's very important. But Jesus said, not everyone who calls on me will enter my kingdom. But those who do what? The will of my Father. Did you feed me when I was hungry? Did you give me drink when I was thirsty? Did you visit me in the hospital? Did you visit me in prison? And what did they say? We didn't see you. We didn't see you. What are they really saying? Jesus tells them, as you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. You didn't recognize me. You didn't recognize me. Can Jesus recognize us if we don't recognize him? As we approach God, aren't you glad? Aren't you grateful to be dressed, to be in the appearance of Christ, who died for your sins, to make an atonement for your sins? What does that mean? The joy that it means? So when the Father looks at us, he says, I know you. I recognize you. You are my son. You are my daughter. Jesus says, there's no way but through me. God can say, come into my rest. Come into my peace. If you're not part of that peace today, make this day the day that you change that. That you allow God to work in your life. That you put Him on through baptism. If you have been living a life which doesn't even resemble Christ, make that change today. Commit yourself to changing that today. To living in His image. Doing that service for others. Serving God. Loving Him. And I can guarantee there is no better life. There is no better joy than giving it all to God. Giving it all to Jesus. If you'd like to know that joy this morning, won't you come while we stand and sing?